Well, I hope you've enjoyed the music today, and I hope that it was a real blessing to you. Today, we want to speak on the subject of music. Music is a very important issue, and the Bible has a lot to say about it. The Bible speaks a lot about our music and the way it should be done. Today, Lord willing, we want to cover one of the most popular and one of the most personal subjects that each and every one of us has. Everyone responds to music. Everyone enjoys music. Today, we want to go over the biblical principles for the subject of music. Now, when we leave today, I don't want you to just leave with a music philosophy. I want you to leave today, as we've seen from the Bible, I want you to leave today with biblical convictions. Today, we'll be going through just some resources here. This book I was able to study and go through. A lot of the slides that you'll see tonight are from the research that's done here in Music in the Balance by Frank Garlock and Kurt Wetzel, and they've done a wonderful job researching what's going on. I'll let you know that just as was sung in our Ladies of Praise, we are in the battle for the Lord and the right. We've got to keep on the firing line, especially with our music, and we'll see that as we'll talk today. My source, first of all, we're going to start with God's Word. We're going to recover and hit. My source, of course, is God's Word. There are over 500 direct references to God's Word, to music in God's Word. I'm also going to reference several scholarly outlets as well. Let me get this up and running. I guess it died on me while it let it sit. Let's continue to go through this. My sources are the Bible. Over 500 direct references. We're going to use some scholarly information as well. My goal today is, first and foremost, to allow the Lord to give us clear direction through His Word, to give us the characteristics that we need for our music in our church, in our home, and in our everyday lives. Now, let me ask you this question. Is our youth group music the way it should be, or should we rock our youth group? That's right, you can do that very popularly, and it's possible now with dance praise. Look at that. You can actually dance your way through some of the top 40 hits on the Christian music station. You can step and sweat through Toby Mac, Zoe Girl, Audio Adrenaline, Stephen Curtis Chapman, Reliant K, and so much more. And there's a church benefit to it because 95% of the churches that were surveyed would recommend this program. Hey, wonderful. There is definitely a contemporary Christian movement out there. In fact, there was a Newsweek article named The Glorious Rise of Christian Pop. And this article starts off by telling us, "Are you ready to rip the face off this place?" sung by the lead singer of Pillar. We can see that Jesus rocks here on the cover of Newsweek. Christian entertainment makes a joyful noise. Contemporary Christian music is now the hottest genre in the entire music industry. Did you know that? It's one of the fastest growing genres of music. The kids disembark a gangly pack of 10 to 17-year-olds that could pass for the fans of any of the summer's hottest summer traveling rock tours. Check it out. Here's one of the Christian concerts called Jammin' to Beat the Devil. Hey, you can rock it out for Jesus. Lorraine Ali concludes her Newsweek article by saying, "The values of Christianity and the anti-values of rock seem morally incompatible." Hey, it's pretty evident to the world that our values as Christians are different from the rock's values. But to Christians, it's not quite obvious. There was a quote by a very famous preacher in America that he said that music is amoral. It doesn't matter what words you put to it, or it doesn't matter what music it is, as long as you put the right words to it, music is amoral. Some people, even in churches today, believe that music doesn't really mean anything, just means you have to have the right words to it. Many Christians today would say there's no such thing as Christian music. There are only Christian lyrics. What is sacred is the message. We need to stop defending the tune. Well, you know who said that? Rick Warren, Saddleback Community Church in California. He's, of course, the author of A Very Popular Purpose-Driven Life, and also one of the advocates of neo-evangelicalism, doing whatever we can to associate ourselves with the world to bring folks in. Doesn't mean they'll keep them there, but he's going to consult with the world. We need to stop defending the tune. Just put Christian music, Christian words to it, and then that'll be fine. That's music is amoral thinking. But I can tell you from the Bible, from God's word, that music has a value to it through the logic of Scripture. Also, in his book, Harold M. Best wrote a book, Music Through the Eyes of Faith. He's the dean of the Conservatory of Music at Wheaton College up in Illinois. Here's what he says. Here's some more music is amoral thinking. There is nothing un- or anti-Christian about any kind of music. Really? What? Give me some biblical references. Well, I don't see any. Here's what he continues to say. The Christian is free of the moral nothingness of music, exactly the same way a former idolater is released from the nothingness of the idol. Well, I can tell you that there's still an appeal from idolatry, and that goes completely against God's word. We know that music is a language that speaks. It has a moral value to it. Music isn't something that's nebulous. It has a value. There is definitely a message behind it. In the Foundations of Singing, Van A. Christie tells us there's a language. It's the language of the emotions. Leo Tolstoy says music is the shorthand of emotion. And there's some great biblical logic that Paul gives about music and the value that it has. Look in your Bibles at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's look at Paul's argument about the value and the distinction and the signification of music. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we'll start in verse 7. Listen to the logic that Paul brings. And even these things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. He compares our music to language, and we know that every language has a meaning. In fact, he goes on in the next verse. Look at verse 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. He says that all languages have a value, or it means nothing. All language has to be understood, and it communicates something. The same way with our music. Our music must communicate something. Let's compare music and language. With language, we write, compose, create, think, get inspired, and formulate ideas. Guess what we do with music? The exact same thing. Also, we use rules of grammar and syntax, sounds with different pitches, sounds with varied durations, sounds with dynamics and different timbre. Guess what we do with music? The exact same thing. It is a language that we can communicate with. But what we're concerned about as Christians is how we communicate that music. In fact, there was a result of a study by a communication psychologist, Dr. Albert Mehrabian, and here's what he said about how we communicate our words. We only communicate 7% of our communication through the actual words that we say. We communicate 38% through how we say it in our voice. And then we communicate a whopping 55% in just our facial expressions. So that's 93% of our communication is communicated in other means other than words. And there goes that argument. Well, just make them Christian words and don't worry about the music. That is a false argument. Music is a language. In fact, it's a universal language that can be communicated throughout language barriers. You can take a song and communicate it to somebody else and they can understand the intent of that song. In fact, music is a spiritual language as we see in God's word. With over 500 direct references to music in Scripture, we can see that God considers music to be a very weighty issue. U.S. News and World Report. Mortimer Zuckerman, he's the editor-in-chief in 1994. Here's what he said about our values in music. Personal impulses, especially sexual, are constantly stimulated by popular music and television, with other mass media not far behind. TV and music often seem to honor everything that the true American ethic abhors. Violence, infidelity, drugs, drinking, and despise everything that it embraces. Religion, marriage, and respect for authority. Martha Bales, a graduate of Harvard, she also taught there, and now she's an arts critic. She writes in her book, A Hole in Our Soul. Here's what she writes about popular music. The West is the only civilization to have created an art form whose sole purpose is to attack morality. It attacks the very building blocks of good values. I argue that something has gone seriously wrong, both with the sound of popular music and the sensibility it expresses. Few critics have addressed the subject of sound, which is, after all, what the music is made of. She goes on by saying, this neglect of music is regrettable, because just as assaultive the lyrics and images of contemporary popular music are many of the sounds. Popular music seems terminally hostile to any sound traditionally associated with music. Now, we're very direct about what we do here at Worth Baptist Church. We do everything here for an intention to praise the Lord. And there's a reason why we do traditional music. Here's what she continues to say about the other edge, the extreme edge of popular music. Heavy metal, she goes on to say that since heavy metal lacks the aesthetic sophistication in realms of music, language, visual arts, and theater, its sole claim to artistic seriousness, the only reason why it's popular, is it lies in its perversity. That's heavy metal. And then she compares heavy metal to disco, these different types of music. It's ironic that for their mutual antipathy, heavy metal and disco came to resemble each other in this respect: a pounding, monotonous rhythm that carries a sexual feeling to dehumanized ends. Job 14, verse 4. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean one? Not one. Hey, we can't use the world's music to get our music. Is it a music verse? No, but is it a music application? Absolutely. We can take God's word and apply it to our lives, to every part of our life. And so we have to conclude that a medium so powerful as music, packed with great emotional, spiritual, and moral and physical influence over God's highest creation, which is man, something that has so much influence over us, can't be limited to just a taste or preference. We have to bring it under the magnifying glass of Scripture. We have to check our musical preferences under the magnifying glass of Scripture. Music is a very important issue. In 1977, just as the contemporary Christian music realm was coming to be 31 years ago, Satan's Music Exposed by Lowell Hart came out, and here's what he observed about this phenomenon. Here's what he wrote on the front of his book. Is some contemporary Christian music part of Satan's strategy to water down the effectiveness of the church? For years, Satan has been trying to get a toehold in the front door of an evangelical church. Now, he has found a wide open back door, and he is blindly yet enthusiastically welcomed through the medium of music. Music wields great power. We know that music has great influence over our lives. In fact, a very popular singer, Ray Charles, knew that. He made the observation, the way I see it, we're all actors, but musical ones. We're doing it with notes and lyrics with notes. Telling a story. I can take an audience and get them into a frenzy so that they're almost riot, and yet I can sit there so that you can almost hear a pin drop. He knows what to do with music. Some Christians say, well, listen, I don't let my music influence me. I just like my music, and then I serve the Lord the way I want to. Only God can form my character. Well, listen, if we let other influences influence us, we're just like 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Yes, outside sources can determine our life. Manners are fleshing out of the character. Is it a music verse? No. Is it a music application? Absolutely. hey, do you recognize this guy from popular popular history? Hey, it's Mick Jagger here. Consider his words. Listen to his intent with his music. We are moving after the minds. So are most of the new groups. Also, look back about 30 years to David Crosby. He's in Crosby, Stills, and Nash. He's not as popular. He's a little bit more articulate. And here's what he says. I figured the only thing to do was to swipe their kids. And I still think that's the only thing to do. But by saying that, I'm not talking about kidnapping. I'm just talking about changing the value system, which removes them from their parents' world very effectively. Do you see what he's trying to do with his music and with the world's music? He's trying to disassociate our children away from their parents' values, particularly the values that we find here in God's Word. When we're saved, we have a new life. And when we have new life, we have new music, new songs that come out of that. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Well, if God is the author of our salvation, he's purchased us and delivered us from the penalty of sin. That means I belong to him. He saved me. And he's also delivered me from the power of sin. That means I can serve him in his strength. But also, he has earned my praise. Therefore, I sing a new song. As God is salvation and God is strength, God is also our song. Let's look at it this way. What else can we conclude? If God is the source of our strength and God is the source of our salvation, he's also the source of our music. That's right. He's the source of our song. Therefore, the music in the believer's life must reflect God's character. What is God's character? His holiness, his justice, his righteousness, his order, his purity, and also his beauty. We've got to reflect God's character. And we're told in Ephesians 5:1, to be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Followers really means imitators, is the word in the Greek. An imitator of God, imitator of his holiness, order, purity, beauty, righteousness. Is it a music verse? Not necessarily. Is it a music application? Absolutely. How must we follow the Lord? How must we exalt his characteristics? Well, Psalm 69:30 tells us, I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. We are to magnify Christ's characteristics with our music. Let's keep going. We are his workmanship. We don't need to blaspheme God's word. Well, we've gone from How Sweet the Sound, which is a CCM magazine article, to A Joyful Romp. Listen to this. Jars of Clay. Here's what they say about Jars of Clay's music. They sing a spruced up I Need Thee Every Hour and a funk-infused version of It Is Well With My Soul. The Jars are a joyful romp through Nothing But the Blood. And also Sarah Kelly joins them as she gloriously wails her way through the bluesy, soulful barn burner that is I'll Fly Away. They're taking the world's methods and they're putting them with God's music. There's a clear direction there. But when we're saved, all things become new. Ephesians 5:10 tells us to prove all things that are acceptable. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22 tell us to prove all things. 2 Corinthians 5:17, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. Consider Psalm 40, new music. Let's step through that passage. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me. He heard my cry. He brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the clay, set my feet upon a rock. He established my goings, and then he caps it off with a brand new song. Is music important to God, and is it important for our life? Sevenfold. Absolutely. Let's look at a closer look of Ephesians 5, verse 10 and 11. Now, check this out. Rock music, is it right or wrong? Well, here's a notable figure here that says rock music is nothing more than pornography. Well, who said that? Well, none other than the Reverend Jesse Jackson. He knows that rock music is nothing more than pornography. Hey, listen, it's a tool for altering consciousness. rock music by William Schaefer, a professor of at the University of Minnesota. He knows that it's to change the whole culture that we have. So that's what we see about rock music. Let's incorporate just a few more examples of some other genres. This was from Ken Burns. He did a PBS documentary, maybe some of you saw it, called Jazz. And here's what he notes about the beginnings of jazz. His sound, filled with trumpet growls, unusual harmonies, and chords no one had ever heard before, was given a new, and for some, a demeaning name, jungle music. But whatever it was called, the music was hot, exotic and sexy, behind some pretty racy shows. And he is providing music that supports them, and the music itself becomes erotic, so that the band becomes a kind of participant with the dancers. The music is just as erotic and just as seamy. Hey, listen, that's jazz, but let's continue with some other forms of music. Apparently borrowed from music videos, the back-to-front sexually explicit dance seems to have become more popular. And this is Hillary Nielsen from the Concord Monitor. She says that dance is erotic, which is one reason it's so important to adolescents. Adults must remember that sexuality is part of dancing and has always been. Let me just pause right here briefly to say Christians have no place at a dance. All right, let's go on to country music. Now we're stepping on toes. Hey, now that's some country music. Hey, we're in Texas. We have our country music here. Listen to what Conway Twitty says about his particular field of music. As a country artist, I'm not proud of a lot of the things in my field. In fact, he says, there's not a doubt in my mind that we are contributing to the moral decline in America. Hey, let's evaluate our music. Let's prove all things. Hey, is the music that we're listening to lining up with God's word? This is an article that was a play on Larry Norman's song, Why Should the Devil Have All the Good Music? He says, why should the church have all the good music? Here's what he says about the current trends in popular Christian music. Here's what he said. The Gospel Music Association, for instance, has made an important change in the group's mission statement. What had traditionally been a declaration that affirmed the group's goal as advancing gospel music, the GMA enlarged it to say that the group's goal was now to advance the gospel in every genre of music, a significant shift that is reflected by a growing desire of many artists to be identified as Christians who work in jazz, pop, rock, and R&B instead of just Christian music artists. What's the goal of sacred music? First of all, is to praise and glorify God. Over 100 verses of the 500 verses tell us to praise and glorify God. It's also to teach, admonish, and encourage. It also has another purpose of unifying believers and also to evangelize. That's the purpose of our music. In that order? Absolutely. Now, let's continue on by learning some non-music verses that apply to our music condition today. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. Jeremiah 48. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. And here's another one. How does what we listen to match up with Philippians 4:8? Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, lovely, good report, virtue, praise, think on these things. Well, how does our rock music line up with that verse? Well, not very well. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Let's apply another non-music verse to get a music application. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. There's many other verses, and many other verses that we haven't covered here that constitute clear instruction about our music. We have to make that music application. Also, music has a great influence on our bodies. There's a great growing field called music therapy for the young as well as the old. Music has a great influence on our bodies. In fact, it doesn't even stop with humans. Dairy cows delight in classical music. Daniel McElmurray recently won first place in a regional science fair for a project on how music improved milk production in cows. Here's what he said. He tested the effects of classical, country, and rock music on the cows. And here's what he came out with. The cows proved they prefer classical to country and rock by producing 1,000 pounds more milk. Daniel McElmurray won first prize. Also, let's think of an example from Scripture where we look at David being able to play his music and influence the king for good. An evil spirit has departed from him. The narrative tells us that when David played, the evil spirit fled from the king, indicating that God was able to break through and continue to work in Saul's life. It also indicates that there's a certain type of music around which demons feel very uncomfortable. Consider the other kind of the other side of the coin. There is a type of music under which evil spirits find it quite easy to progress with their work and influence. Hey, that's the way we have to look at it. Order in music offers harmony and life. Let's apply some music effects. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We're told that we have a trichotomy, a body, soul, and spirit. Also, music is a trichotomy. We have melody, harmony, and rhythm. When you apply melody, you're ministering to the spirit. When you apply harmony, you're ministering to the mind. And when you apply rhythm, you're ministering to the body. We know that because, take an orchestra for example. How much rhythm is too much rhythm? Let's look at it, your average 100-member orchestra. You have the string section, violins through the basses, all the way through melody and harmony with 40 to 45 members. Then we have the flutes and clarinets and bassoons and oboes join in with melody and harmony. Brass, 10 to 15 members of trumpets, trombones, euphoniums, and tubas. And then, where's our rhythm? Oh, 2 to 4 members control the rhythm of the orchestra. Now, numerically, that's 2 to 4%, but really, practically, most of those percussion members are sitting there counting 35, 21 measures of rest at a time. So really, practically, you only have about 1% of rhythm in an orchestra. But how much is too much rhythm? Let's take your typical rock band. All right, first of all, you have the rhythm guitar. And then you add the bass guitar, which is another rhythm instrument. Then you add an array of drums, which is all rhythm. But where's the melody? Oh, we'll toss it in on a bridge of a song occasionally to play at the lead guitar. That means 75% of that rock music is all rhythm. And what does rhythm minister to? Ministers to the body. That's a pretty staggering statistic. Mostly rhythm compared to just 1% of rhythm. Conclusion, there's two important conclusions. First, we have to reject rock as a vehicle to communicate our message, since the emotions of music are incompatible with the theme. What's our theme? The gospel of Jesus Christ. And we also must conclude that we must apply a more classical sound and employ these emotions to reflect and reinforce our message more clearly. Does God rock, we ask? Let's ask POD. Christian, it says it's Christian group. Here's what Sonny Sandoval says. Ultimately, we're trying to win you over with the music, and it's up to you to think about what we're talking about. Hey, they want it to be a mystery. They just want to get you with the music. They also consider that POD Sandoval is serious about being both a Christian artist, both a Christian and an artist, but he doesn't think he should have to conform to anyone else's opinion about how he should dress or what he should sing about. Still, he admits he's not going to walk around in public with a bottle of Jack Daniels in his hand. That's just not him. But who knows what he does in private. Here's our conclusion. Rock music, whether secular or sacred, is always sensual, and it has no place in godly, Christ-honoring music. Now, I have about another half hour of things that I have prepared, but let's end right here. Let's look at God's Word tonight. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 10. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 10. Why do we want to use God's music in the way God wants us to use it? so that we can glorify Him. Why? Because we're created in His image. God has created us to be musical beings. God is the author of music. He's created us to enjoy music and to proclaim His truth through the right kind of music. Ephesians 2:10 tells us, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto rock music? No, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in Him." Also, let's look at one more verse, Ephesians 5, verse 11. Ephesians 5, verse 11. Actually, start in verse 10. "Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord," look at verse 11, "and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." And that's what we're doing here today. We don't want the world's kind of music in God's kind of church. We want to glorify God in every aspect of our music. And in fact, we want to lift up Christ and make sure every area of our lives falls under one standard, the standard of God's Word. Is your music in line with God's Word? Does your music, the things that you're allowing into your life, allowing to influence you, does it match up with God's Word? Are you thinking on those excellent, pure, godly things? My encouragement for you, don't just leave here with a preference. Leave here with a biblical conviction on music. It's a very important issue to God. It should be just as important to all of us. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. You know, today, we've just seen a few aspects of the world's music. It's a battle. And it's a battle for your homes. Parents, what are you doing? Are you protecting your children from it? Parents, what's going on in your radio? What's going on in your CD player? What are you allowing into your home? Are you protecting your family from the influences of rock music? You know, today, it's time to, if that's in your life, it's time to get that right and to lay it down at Jesus' feet. In fact, why don't we just sing, "I Surrender All," when we come to our time of invitation. And if you need to surrender that type of music that has a grip on you, a stronghold in your life, it's time to be willing to give that up. Time to be willing to release that, give it to the Lord, and replace it. Don't just get rid of one type of music without replacing it with the right type of music. God's Word tells us that we need to rejoice in the Lord and sing a new song unto Him. Not an old song where we draw from the world's methods, but a new song, the way that He wants us to sing it. Maybe the Lord's laid on your heart. You need to get some new music into your life. Maybe you need to make that commitment right now so that you don't allow any of that into your life. Let's sing together, "I Surrender All." And then you come to the front, get that right with the Lord. If you're saved, pray for those who need to make that decision. And if you're not saved, you can't make that decision about music because, hey, listen, you've never made that first decision to follow the Lord. If you're not saved, come to the front, get that taken care of tonight. But Christian, it's time to give it up. Time to make that commitment to give your music, the things that you allow into your mind, that communication, give that to the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your Word and the principles that we find in it. Lord, help us to stay tight to those. And Lord, we'll give You the glory for it in Christ's name.